You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
This is the Classic Auto Mall Show. Broadcast from the studios inside the Classic Auto Mall in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. Just 1 hour west of Philadelphia at Pennsylvania Turnpike Exit 298. Featuring nearly 1,000 classic, vintage, and barn find vehicles for sale under one climate-controlled roof. Now, here's your host, Classic Auto Mall President and the man with all the toys, Stuart Howden.
How wonderful to be here on show number 148 with such a delightful lead-in. That was fantastic. It really gets me my juices flowing in the morning, so thanks a lot for that. Anyway, welcome to the Classic Auto Mall Show. This will air for the first time on July the 6th, 2024. So I have a bunch of birthday friends on July the 6th. We're like eight people I know that have that birthday. I wonder what that means, or does it mean anything, or it just means I know a lot of people there. Are you going to talk?
Yeah, now I'm live.
You decided you're going to talk and hang out with
I'm not on camera, but I'm here.
You're here, but you're not here, right? Thanks to the Pat Travers Band.
Did you have a good fourth, by the way?
Great fourth. It was fantastic. Awesome. I did nothing. And you ask, where did we sell cars this past week?
I was going to ask you that. Yeah, I was.
Yeah, fantastic. So how about West Covina, California?
Love it.
South Nyack. Is that right, New York?
I don't know.
Winfield, Pennsylvania. Collegeville, Pennsylvania. Coryville, Pennsylvania. Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Hanover, Pennsylvania. Pequia, Pennsylvania, Owings Mills, Maryland,
hey,
Frackville, Pennsylvania, Moton, Pennsylvania, Churchville, Pennsylvania, McKees Rock, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, what the heck? Quitman, Georgia, Glade Park, Colorado, Chesapeake, Virginia, Carmel, Indiana, Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, and Bennett, Nebraska.
Wow.
So 20 sales were a little light this week.
10 states.
10 states. So, been a little light on the sales. So, but anyway, thanks for, tuning in. And, guess how many cars we have in inventory right now?
923.
You cheated.
You looked, that's what you had last week.
Well, I know. We were kind of
broke even.
Neutral. We broke even this week. So, joining us this morning, from our neighboring Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania is Dan Del Bianco, the executive director of the Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix. Good morning, Dan. How are you this morning?
I'm terrific. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, and like you have all the free time in the world right now, right? You got nothing going on, no event coming up in like 2 weeks now, right?
I'm just hoping that the phones don't ring and people don't knock on the door while we're doing this, but that's just part of it, right?
It's part of it. You know, we figured that out very quickly here that life goes on in business no matter what you want it to be or not want it to be. So, how many years? So the Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix started in early 80s, right? 83?
83.
Mm-hmm. And you've been on board how long?
So this is our 42nd year, wow. And I've been here 21, so I've just reached the halfway point.
Fantastic.
And but that puts me still pretty far behind. We're putting out a 25-year volunteer patch this year.
Wow.
And 204 people qualified to get a 25-year patch.
Wow.
So let that sink in to with 1,200 volunteers and clearly, one out of every six has been here
longer than you
for the century. Yeah,
so it's hard to tell them what to do.
It actually is, and I really don't want to. They know what they're doing, although some of them still think that we're doing things the way we did them 10 years.
Well, I'm starting to get that old school of where I used to accuse my dad and my grandfather of being, and now I find myself doing the same thing. So I get that. But it's funny, I can imagine, you know, walking up to a volunteer and saying, hey, you need to do this. Say, no, Dan, we don't do it that way. Sorry.
It's true.
How great is that? So 40-something years, my goodness. I mean, that is hard to fathom in this day and age to be able to maintain an event that has to raise all of your operating funds, right? I mean, you don't have any magic bank account that just, you know, opens up and lets you put on this event, right?
Right. Yeah. We've got to make money to keep the organization going. And, sure. And we donate about $250,000 to $300,000 a year to charity.
Wow. Wow. And that's autism and
Autism Pittsburgh and Maricopa Allegheny Valley School. And Maricopa is actually an organization out on your side of the state.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, that's right. Well, I did hear something about that. So, you know, that's wonderful. I mean, listen, in this day and age, people have a hard time understanding the value of giving and how important it is. And, you know, people get wrapped up in their own lives, but it's fantastic when an organization like yours can donate, I mean, tangible amount of money, not just nothing.
Right.
We always like to have charities involved in all the different events that we do. And, it's nice because now your event is 10 days long. Is that correct?
Yeah, and we even go beyond that, but it's easy enough just to try to compartmentalize
right.
Two race weekends with a bunch of activities in between. But we actually have events almost every month of the year, some smaller, some larger.
Kind of keep it relevant and keep it in people's frame of mind and all that good stuff.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we do the auto show here in Pittsburgh is a big part of what we do.
Sure.
We've got a couple of events in late August, September, and we do a victory lap to hand the check out. So we're almost year round.
Wow. And the first event I read somewhere that had over 80 entrants just on the very first event that you did. I mean, that's pretty amazing. How many entrants will you have this year?
So we expect to have, 250, and I'm going to say racers because it's 10 days of events, but the
right.
First weekend is our races at Pittsburgh International Race Complex. So between 200 and 250 racers there, which will doesn't include 60 to 70 GT40s.
I read about that.
Going to be there as part of the GT40 reunion.
That's not exciting, is it?
Not at all. And not at all. I can't wait.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but it includes GTs from the 60s. It includes the revitalized 2005 through 6, the new ones from 2017 through 2024, and also ones that are replicas, Superformance, and things like that.
Exactly.
Right?
Sure.
And they embrace all of them, which I think is great.
You have to. There's so many different versions. They're all beautiful. Everyone appreciates the same car, and you know they don't really make them. What they do with Superformance is incredible.
Right.
Those cars, we've got three or four of them here in Pittsburgh, and they're gorgeous.
Yeah, they really are. They do a wonderful job on it. And the proportions are right, and all of that, and of course, and Ford really got it right with the GT when they reintroduced it. It really, although I guess the one thing that they could probably say maybe they regretted a little bit is that. You know, without all the driver's aids, a lot of guys got into them out of a Ferrari with traction control and got in a GT and went like that on the on ramp and went, oh, that's not for me. Cause I remember then those cars at one point in time, you could buy them for under $100,000. They were 80 or 90 grand. People just were having a hard time wrapping their arms around it. And then they took off again. And of course we see the values just through the roof now.
And we've got a lot of history with the GT40 here in Pittsburgh because it was the Gulf Oil livery, and Gulf Oil was headquartered here in Pittsburgh back in the 60s.
Wow.
And so a lot of the cars were worked on and tested here in Pittsburgh.
Right. And interesting that an oil company would be headquartered somewhere that's not on the water where they would receive oil coming in from foreign whatever entities and things like that. I didn't realize that. The Gulf colors are great, too.
I've lost your audio.
Oh, well, can you hear me now? How about now?
I don't know what's going on.
How about now? I don't think anything changed on our end. Can you hear us?
There you go.
Are you good? Okay, cool.
Now you're back.
I was saying how beautiful the Gulf livery is. It's just that color combination is iconic.
And we're using it on merchandise and t-shirts and hats. The interesting part is we've got two posters this year. We have the Mini Cooper and then the Ford, the GT40. We created the poster with the Mini on it and just happened to pick the Gulf Oil colors.
Right.
A racer from out your way, races with us every year and I love the colors. So we picked that for the poster. We finished the art and a week later, we got a call from Rick Muck who wanted to bring the GT40 reunion here. And it was like, well, pretty easy to decide what to do for that poster.
Yeah, that was kind of a no-brainer.
It really was. And it was fortunate. But so Todd Cook out of Florida has created both posters and they're awesome.
Well, and your posters, I was looking back, almost all of your posters since 1983 are still available on your website. And they're all really, they're cool. You can watch the transition of what was the look from the eras and all the way up till now. It's fantastic.
Right. Yeah. It's a blast.
Yeah.
Picking the artist and working with them to pick the car and how everything looks is just one of the most fun parts of this job.
Oh, I imagine. And it's got to be a great gig. You got to pinch yourself and say, wow, this is, how cool is this? Get to be involved in something that means so much to so many people. And then the racing aspect of it, it's fun and it's charitable. You know, could it get any better than that, right? Oh, look at right. that. Look at the Mini Cooper in the Gulf livery.
So I'll get out of the way here.
that is fantastic. Great posters.
That's the Mini Cooper on the left that was done, and then it was just a natural progression into the GT40.
That is fantastic. I absolutely love that. How cool is that? It's fun when things come together like that, right?
It really is.
It doesn't always work that way. We found out the hard way that sometimes the best laid intentions go awry. You know, it's interesting that Pittsburgh has been so successful with this event. Is there any event that's been going on longer than you guys like this or similar to this?
I don't believe so. There's a couple of events that are maybe the same or a year less.
Right.
And it depends on whether you continued your event through COVID in 2020.
Sure.
And so we didn't race in 2020, but it actually ended up being a really good year for us in that people were looking for things to do.
Right.
And so we reached out to all of our car club partners and friends. The safest thing you could do in those first couple of months was get in your own car. Exactly. So we organized or had the clubs organize tours all over the tri-state sure. area. Because here in Western Pennsylvania, there's some great backcountry roads.
Absolutely.
So we ended up doing that. And then one of the car clubs, one of the guys would drive the, so our second weekend in Schenley Park is a race on city streets.
Right. Which is the only one in the country like that, right?
That's right. And so it's the only, one of the participants would go out in his car and do a couple of laps of the track a week before the event, before we started to bring in the jersey barriers. And he said, listen, I'm going to go do it on this weekend. Why don't you guys join me and we'll park up in this area. We'll maintain our distance. We'll do a couple of laps and bring $50 with you. And he raised $5,000.
Wow.
So during the COVID year, we were actually able to raise $70,000 for our charity, and it all came from folks doing things on their own. And so I'm proud of the fact that we kept it going.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, I agree. And it seems like from what you're saying and from what I've read is that the success of the event has a lot to do with the fact that it's in Pittsburgh, and then there's a lot of great people who are backing it and sponsoring it from that area.
Yeah, we've got, as I mentioned, with the 25-year volunteers, there's 1,200 volunteers, and so many of them work year-round on this. And we kind of split the volunteers into those working on the race portion versus the car show.
Right.
And so we're heavily dependent upon the race side, and a lot of them are Steel City's SCCA members that do the races all the time. So to understand, we've got two bookends, a race at Pitt Race, which is the 26th, 27th, and 28th of July, and then through the streets of Schenley Park on August 3rd, 4th. In between those is a black tie party, several different car shows, a parade, a stampede of cars into a country western bar.
Nice.
A countryside tour, a road rally. And then a party at Phipps Botanical Gardens, and we're going to have micro cars inside.
Oh, from the Lane Museum. Yeah, I read that. Yeah.
Lane's bringing some cars up. And so there's something almost every day. It's kind of a Mardi Gras for cars.
Wow, that's fantastic. When we return, we'll continue our conversation with Dan Del Bianco, the executive director of the Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix. We'll see you in just a minute on the Classic Auto Mall Show.
Are you bored with your commute? Listless in your lane, and you don't even have the get up and go on green? 9 out of 10 doctors recommend Classic Auto Mall to cure the common drive. The Classic Auto Mall in Morgantown, PA is a veritable classic car supermarket with classics of all prices, types, and years. So if you need a cure for the common drive, check out Classic Auto Mall in Morgantown or ClassicAutoMall.com. Side effects include not wanting to come home, going to car hop drive-ins, grease under your fingernails, old car smell, and bias.
When it comes to car magazines, are you tired of reading about mega-dollar collector cars you can't afford, or endless reporting on auctions and how-to tech stories that don't interest you? Then Crankshaft is the car magazine for you. Crankshaft is a 144-page softcover quarterly filled with all sorts of fascinating stories, the type of car features you won't find anywhere else. It features American and foreign cars, pre- and post-war era cars of distinction including sports cars, muscle cars, and regular family sedans too. To discover what many car enthusiasts are saying is the best car magazine ever published, you can purchase either a single copy for $12.95 plus $3 postage, or a one-year subscription, four issues, for $59.95. To order your copy, go to www.crankshaftmagazine.com. That's www.crankshaftmagazine.com.
Hey folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday, 1 to 2, only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember folks, I'm not angry, I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show, only right here on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Back with the Classic Auto Mall show from the Classic Auto Mall studio in Morgantown, Pennsylvania, on what may or may not be a sunny, beautiful day wherever you happen to be. Joining us via Zoom, Dan Del Bianco, the executive director of the Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix. I've been talking about going to this event for years, and it always seems to fall on another event. It seems like this year that I might get to come out and join you. And how do people find out more about the event? What's the website and all that and all the that information?
So it's pvgp.org, which stands for Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix. But if you just type in Pittsburgh Vintage, it'll pop up. And so it's a massive website. And if anything, it gets a little confusing because there's 10 days of stuff.
Sure.
And so if you click the events calendar, that'll give you a much better chance to move down the event and see what's there. Because in terms of registration, we've got 10 days, we have 14 events, and then some of those events have multiple registrations depending on the car. So we have over 40 registration programs.
That's a lot.
To bring it all together. Mm-hmm. Because we always talk about the races on the weekends, but at Schenley Park, you've got a golf course with 3,000 cars on it watching the races.
Wow.
And so those cars are parked by the Porsche Club, the BMW Club, Porsche Coffee Guys, and all of those clubs have something different going on. And so they might charge a little more because there's a lunch or there's a dinner or whatever else happens. And so each of those shows has a separate registration. So sometimes it just takes a moment to stare at it and figure out what it is that you want to do.
And they can always pick up the phone and call you too, right?
If they do.
Yeah, I'm sure. Can we have your cell phone number? Yeah.
when I started 21 years ago, I just happened to have this wonderful cell phone of 559-3500. I'm like, well, let's use that because I'm not going to check voicemail. And now it gets printed on
everything, right?
50,000 pieces every year.
Wow. Yeah. That's like you learn quickly that you go, I put my email out on a website that's getting all this traffic. Might not be the best idea. So you expect, there's a significant amount of spectators at the Schenley Park event, right? 50,000?
Probably 50,000 a day.
Wow.
So it's a weekend event. Yeah, because you've got, again, the 3,000 cars. You have almost 100 sponsors and vendor tents going on.
Wow.
And then you've got everybody that comes in for the race side as well. And so it's a 456-acre park that we pack people into.
Wow. And that's owned by the city, right? Is that a city-owned park?
Yeah, it's a city park. Mary Schenley, the Schenley Park. Got a public golf course in the middle that is kind enough to let us throw a party on there. But, cars are moving, through the park on Thursday. We close it up Friday. We race Saturday, Sunday, and we open half of those roads Sunday night and the rest on Monday. Wow. You're back driving again.
Wow. Well, and it's like anything, the people wonder how much work and effort it takes to put on an event, especially of this caliber. It's a lot of responsibility. What's the biggest change you've seen since you started?
The size of what we've done there at Schenley Park continues to grow. And the only way I live and die by aerial photographs, we have people taking aerials this year. And so for the next 10 months, we'll be using those as we try to position tents for next year and where are car shows too large or not. If you take a look at the aerials from 2002 before I got here, it's just a world of difference.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely.
Well, and then we filled in a lot of those events. You know, there were only a couple of week events in between race weekends, and now there's one every day. And quite honestly, that's where a lot of the money that comes for that we give to our charities is raised at those charity events in between. Because quite frankly, to close the city streets and put on a race is less than break even.
I would imagine so. And thank goodness you have some wonderful sponsors. I know Bobby Rahal's Automotive Group is a sponsor this year for you guys, and of course our friends at Bring a Trailer.
They're bringing in 150 alumni to be part of our show on Saturday. But if anybody's out there listening, I need to be cured. You can't bring a trailer. Bring a car.
Please don't bring a trailer, right?
I brought that up in an operating meeting last month, and they're like, what are we going to do with all those trailers? I'm like, no, they bought their car. I'd bring a trailer.
That's so funny.
You can't bring your trailer onto the golf course. There's no room.
There's just not enough room. And not only do you have the GT40 reunion that you were talking about, but you've got the coolest class of racers that probably you'll ever see. And if you haven't seen them before, you should. The ragtime racers, Corky Coker and his bunch.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I saw him in Chattanooga 2 years ago last year, and then maybe 3 years ago I was there. And it's amazing to watch those guys in those old pre-1920s race cars.
So you're from Tennessee, right?
Yeah, from Knoxville. So
I was down at Chattanooga as well and met Brian Blaine and Corky and, talked about bringing them up here. I was just fascinated by the whole thing. And so excited, and so I was going to mention about Chattanooga. You said no one else races through streets. They did last year.
Yep.
Kind of a time trial.
Yep.
But I understand they're not doing it this year. Some construction issues.
There's some construction issues, and I think there's some actual road issues. It was a little bumpy in a few spots. Of course, with the pre-1920s Mercers and all that, it didn't matter as much. But, you know, get a modern-day Porsche or something, which a lot of them are. It was a little tricky out there. And
I really, really enjoyed that event and was impressed with the work they put in and how they transformed the whole town.
I tell you what, that Westin Hotel being the hub of the whole event, is an amazing place. And you just see anybody who's anybody in the car world is there. And it's just fascinating. I mean, Brian Redman and Linda Vaughn and Chip Foose and Corky Coker himself, we had him on the podcast. He's an unbelievable character. He's that typical Tennessee good old boy who will probably outsmart you in everything you do, and you'll just go, what the hell just happened? He's a great guy, though, and a great champion of the sport. And if it weren't for Coker Tire, a lot of these cars we probably wouldn't be seeing out there like we do.
You probably wouldn't have the tires to run them.
You absolutely would. But nobody can wear the period-correct outfit like Corky, with the leather boots up to his knees and the goggles and the whole suit and that handle, that mustache. And, you know, it's like, if I tried to wear that outfit, I would be thrown in prison. It would not be a pretty sight. So, and then, of course, this year, you've got, of course, past Grand Marshals have included, Luigi Canetti Jr. was the Grand Marshal last year. This year is going to be Bill Warner.
Yes, from Amelia Island.
Yeah. What a great guy. Bill is such another champion of the hobby, and I call it a hobby. I know it's an industry. I know it's bigger than a hobby, blah, 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 but that's still the way I call it. But Bill Warner, I mean, Amelia, you know, behind Pebble Beach, probably the second greatest concours ever, put on. And in a great place and part of the world as well, too.
Yeah, he was down at Chattanooga. The first weekend, our Grand Marshal's honorary race director is David Hobbs.
Oh, was that all? Gosh.
Yeah.
So, you know, I love that when you see guys like that, David Hobbs and Redmond and Hurley Haywood and all these guys who are still revered. You know, you'd think that there were times when it's been so long since some of them have raced competitively, that you think they'd get forgotten about, and they haven't been. And thanks to events like what you're doing as well, too.
Yeah. And it's a wonderful atmosphere to meet with them and mingle. No one's sitting under a tent signing autographs.
Right.
You're just going to bump into somebody as they walk through the car show. And that's It's maybe one of the best parts of our whole industry is how casual it is.
I loved one of the quotes that Bring a Trailer had said about the event, that the cars, the variety of cars on and at the track could stock five or six really impressive events. And you're basically one event. That's pretty amazing. You know, how many cars overall, participants and all that? Are you expecting, you know, is there 500 cars in the whole event, or is there way more than that?
So race cars, there's about 400.
Right.
And then show cars, there's 3,000 at Schenley and another probably 1,000 spread amongst the other events, so probably 4,000 cars.
You're almost rivaling Pebble Beach here with all everything that's going on.
You know, we're so different.
Right.
In that we ask for a $10 donation to come in for the weekend, and it's purely a donation. So our event at Schenley is driven by people just coming in to watch. So right. it's an everyman event, and actually entering the car show is the best way to get in. It's $60 to put your car in the show. You're going to pay that much to park both days. And so shine it up and bring it in. So not all of those 3,000 cars are necessarily show quality that you might get at a Concours.
Right.
They definitely aren't. But it's the best way to enjoy the event.
And let's face it, nobody grew up that we know of with Duesenbergs and Ferraris in their family.
Right?
No. So there's certainly that. You know, I was looking over the tech inspection and the medical form that you got to fill out to be involved in to race, and I realized this is not playing around. This is not just a bunch of guys out there in a parking lot with some cones. This is serious.
Yeah, and it's much more serious the first weekend at Pitt Race. I mean, it's a professional track, and you've got all the safety precautions, and cars have to have fuel cells, drivers are fully outfitted. The difference when we get to Schenley Park, it's a street course that's got manhole covers.
Right.
It's got cambers on the road. It's got stone walls. It's got telephone poles, catch basins, right, and everything else. So you don't go 100% when you're out there.
Right, right. Well, that's one of those things. They have a hill climb here close to us here in Redding. And it's the mm-hmm. Redding Hill Climb and the Blue Ridge Community SCCA group puts it on. And I thought that'd be fun to do. And I went up to the top, and they're coming across the top of that mountain at 160 miles an hour with stone walls on either side. And like you said, potholes and manhole covers. And it's not for the faint of heart.
Now, we've got a lot of competitors from your side of the state as well. VSCCA members there and up into New England.
Sure.
He's passed away now, but David George from David George Coach Works right out your way had some incredible cars. So a lot of folks make the trip across the state.
Yeah, and if you get a chance, certainly go check it out. It'll be this year, July. Give us the dates again there, Dan.
So July 26th, Friday the 26th through Sunday, August 4th.
Well, thanks so much for being on the show today. I know you're busy, right, so get back to work. And I'll come introduce myself when I see you up there in the next couple of weeks.
Please let me know if you come out.
I sure will. Take care. Thanks again.
Thank you.
If you want to see exciting fish, insects, and reptiles, you'll want to visit the Classic Auto Mall. Where else can you see hornets, honeybees, super bees, living in peace and harmony with stingrays, barracudas, tiburon, which means sharks, cobras and vipers, as well as beetles. And we don't mean the band. So if you come to Classic Auto Mall, you can see everything there is to see for free, and we won't bug you.
Since the 1960s, J.C. Taylor has been America's premier specialty insurance provider for classic cars, antique autos, modified, and custom vehicles. Our customers have trusted us to protect their prized possessions for more than six decades. For more information, or to receive a quote, contact our expert team today by calling 888-ANTIQUE or by visiting our website at jctaylor.com/AWR. That's 888-268-4783 or visit jctaylor.com/AWR. Drive through time with peace of mind. JC Taylor.
If you love classic cars, you're going to want to listen to the Classic Car Show with Tom Cox and Richard Lentinello on America's Web Radio. Live every Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern at americaswebradio.com or on demand on your favorite podcast app.
What will Victor say next? Find out every Tuesday at 1 p.m. on the On Point with Victor show, only on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
We're back with the Classic Auto Mall show from the Classic Auto Mall studio in Morgantown. Welcome, Steve.
Where
have
you
been?
Welcome back.
Been hiding?
Check.
I know we've been busy, you know. Dan Del Bianco, the guest today from the Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix.
Dan Del Bianco.
What did I say?
Dale.
No, I didn't. I said Dan.
Rewind that.
Somebody that. Check it. It's Dan
Del Bianco. Great guy
and a great event. And you get to merge your passion with charity and doing good and making people happy. And, you know, we're comparing it to Pebble Beach, and you shouldn't compare it to that because Pebble Beach, everything you do is $750 for a ticket to go
not
to.
It's not all charity either.
It's not all charity. A lot of it is. There's a lot of charity involved in it, so I won't say that. But
okay.
But a fantastic event, fantastic guy. I've been doing it for – what a great gig.
Yeah, you know, that, all year long, too.
It's all like year long, yeah.
I thought it was like a seasonal thing.
10 events that you do. And
I was going to ask him what his day job was, but that is his
day job. Yeah, I would imagine. And 1,200 volunteers that they have. That's a lot. That's a lot to coordinate.
You can't get one person.
Now. That's a lot of things to coordinate and a lot of events to coordinate. And I know when I ran the auction park in Auburn, Indiana for Cruise International, I mean, we had probably about 1,200 volunteers and helpers and paid policemen and people that work for us. And it you couldn't wrap your head and arms around an event that size. You just had to let it flow. And like he said, you know, you kind of got to let people just kind of do their job, because if you tried to micromanage it, you'd kill yourself after 24 hours.
Yeah.
And so hats off to him for doing a great job like that. So let's talk a little bit about some of the new arrivals that we have here. How about the first one? It'll throw you. It's a 1959 Porsche 908 tractor.
Yes.
It's interesting that it's a 908, because wasn't there a 908 race car
was there
in the day?
I 906.
Think it was a 96 and
910.
There had to be a 908. Surely they didn't skip.
I can ask
they
Dr. Google.
They go from 6 to 10, did they? Can't possibly.
I don't know.
Well, I'd like you to find that out before we go anywhere else. red over beige. How appropriate. Is that Guards red?
It is, actually.
It is.
I think it is.
Guards red over beige, years long nut and bolt resto, 822cc, one cylinder diesel engine. That's got to be the smallest diesel engine on the planet.
Yes, there was a 908 Porsche.
Thank you. I knew that. I was just race testing car. You. 3-speed manual transmission on this one cylinder diesel. And this thing is better than new.
It's pristine.
Yeah, it's, man, the amount of, I mean, the effort that went into a tractor to restore it has got to be almost as much as a car.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of little intricate details and parts and things that have to be painted and done and fixed. And I don't imagine there's a lot of Porsche diesel tractor parts just floating around out there.
I don't know. The tractor world is, the tractor enthusiast world is pretty huge.
Look at Mecum's auctions. Mecum does these tractor auctions.
Do they?
And they're huge. They sold what was it? It was a steam powered tractor. I've had this on my list. Listen to this. This was a while back, maybe a year ago or so. Mecum sold a vintage tractor for more than $1 million.
What?
It was a 1913 Case 30-60. It was, when it was new, it was $2,800 more than a 1913 Cadillac.
Wow.
And it's one of 543 and only one of five left. So for almost $1.5 million.
That's insane.
For a tractor.
I mean, not insane. It's incredible.
Yeah, there's a guy out in Marcus Hook, Pennsylvania, and he has this shop full of old tractors, and it looks like a junkyard. He's probably a millionaire.
Yeah.
Nobody saves this stuff.
No. And, you know, Mecum also sold, I had forgotten to talk about this a couple of weeks ago when I wrote it down, a 1908 Harley-Davidson strap tank for $935,000. Isn't that crazy?
You know, unbelievable.
So, tractors and those kind of things are not dead.
No, this
or motorcycles even. Sometimes motorcycles can be tough to sell. And we tell people that when we sell motorcycles here, that, yes. including mine, that motorcycles are not the easiest sell because the depreciation on them is strong. And then you don't know how long the wave is going to go down before they start going back up. That's the problem.
We have a number of Harleys here. For
we
sure.
do have a number of Harleys and they don't take up a lot of space. So, you know, a lot of guys collect motorcycles and they say, why'd you start collecting motorcycles? Cause I could put 100 motorcycles in the space where I could put 20 cars
sure.
or
yeah.
if that. So, but this tractor, these things were kind of a necessity, of the era. I mean, you know, Porsche saw that, these horses were trying to pull, pulling guns and ammunition and all this stuff, and they were not surviving. It was tough.
Right.
And so he thought, maybe there's a better way to do it. He sold 120,000 tractors.
Amazing.
Over the 56 to 1963 model year. That's crazy. And then, of course, you know, probably, I would imagine at some point in time, there was not a need for them. And so all of a sudden, I think he decided, sports cars. That would be a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
Pull.
Yeah. Let's put this power in a sports car.
Exactly. So, other new arrivals this week, the 2005 Mercedes-Benz SL500 Roadster. This should be in my collection. It matches the bright color, obsidian black.
That's right.
Over slate interior, a garage cab. Something about the 05 SL seems to be what the poster child for SL Mercedes should be. It looks, the new ones are way too big, and the ones in the past even 8 or 10 years are definitely not true to the form of being a really a two-seat roadster like they were. And then the ones prior to that are very kind of dated. Look at the 450 SLs, the 560 SLs are a little dated looking. The 2005 is really iconic. It almost is a design that you think that will be relevant 50 years from now.
I think so, especially the nose, too. The nose is like, it's never going to get old to look at that thing. It just swept back the way it is.
And classy looking.
Yeah.
Just very classy.
And black is.
And black is great. And the top was overhauled in 2022. It's got the 5-liter double overhead cam V8, 7-speed automatic. Very well optioned and just right, it's right on. It's the car.
Beautiful
it's the
car.
One you want. Other new arrival, the 1965 Chevrolet Corvette Coupe, numbers matching 327 cubic inch L79 V8 with the Muncie M20 manual.
Beauty.
Miles deep paint. We can't get away from that, can we?
Sometimes it's true.
it's like runs and drives great. Sometimes it's just
all you can say.
This thing is expertly restored and a very wonderful driving example. And sometimes these ones that are done to this level aren't as good a drivers as a driver quality one.
Right.
And what I mean by that is that some of these are just not built to drive. They're built to show. And so people don't worry so much. Beautiful Z28 and Cortez Silver coming in right now. Wow, that's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
With a Cal Induction hood. I hope that guy's not just visiting. I hope he's dropping that bad boy
Check
off.
The website in about 2 weeks. It should should be up there.
And the tallest guy in the history of tall guys just walked in.
Wow. So, bang your head. Wow.
Bang your head. So the Corvette, beautiful car. Get a chance to check it out.
And by the way, I don't use miles deep unless it's warranted.
Really miles.
Really miles.
Looks like you could dive in.
Really thick paint. Not thick, but.
And if you're on, listening on podcast and can't see, I'm making the diving motion. So we're diving in. By the way, thanks for calling me on the shirt today.
Yeah. I'm going with the darker red, apparently.
It is a little darker. Mine's a little more Rosso Corsa. Yours is more whatever the other color
is. Right, Madeira.
Madeira. Other new arrival. How about the 1980 Pontiac Firebird Turbo Trans Am Pace Car?
Yeah.
It's a very iconic looking car. It's graphiced up like crazy. It's got it's a true Y85, pace car. Turbocharged 301 cubic inch V8. Numbers matching turbo hydromatic 350. T-tops, 10 bolt axle. Thank God for the turbochargers back in the day because it bumped the horsepower from 140 to 210. And you think 210 in a Trans Am, which was a sports car back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's what it was.
That's all they got out of it.
And it was, you know, they originally had, I think, probably 1989, they put a turbo Buick engine into the Trans Am, and that paced the Indy 500. And then, of course, this one, was 1980, so 9 years earlier.
Yeah, 9 years earlier. The technology over those 9 years really
changed.
Really changed because you don't have 300 horsepower out of the TTA.
And you don't have the turbo lag like you have in the older ones. Mm-hmm. In a 930 turbo Porsche, if the turbo kicked in at the wrong moment, you were in deep doo-doo. And I had that happen, and it's a long story, and we will tell it one of these days, maybe when I'm drinking on the air.
Okay, that'll be good.
It caught really in an off-camber left-hander.
Yeah.
And I thought, if I wreck this, I'm going to have to run and hide.
It's a legendary. The lag for old Porsches is legendary.
Yeah. You just knew how, you just had to know how to drive. It's, mm-hmm. it's no different than these, modern, or let me say, not say modern, the automatic transmission, the paddle shifted transmissions of the Aston Martins and the Mercedes and the mm-hmm. Porsches from, mid 2000s to about early 2010, 2012, where they started figuring out the technology a little bit better. But they're a little tricky to drive if you don't really kind of know what you're doing and when to kind of let off the gas mm-hmm. just a little bit and feather it, if you will.
Gotcha.
Or full throttle it. Either way, you got to do one of the. We drove the Aston up to Reading yesterday up 176. I wasn't breaking the speed limit, I swear.
Right.
There's no proof or rules or laws.
It wasn't posted.
It wasn't posted. I didn't see speed limit anywhere.
Right.
I like when my car flashes at me, the speed limit.
Oh,
like,
does it?
Yeah. You go over. It
wow.
Like, yeah. So if you're doing 60, 61 in a 60.
Yeah, it'll flash.
It'll flash. It'll flash. Mm.
And that's a green. That's a light green Aston Martin.
It's a DBR9 racing green.
Racing green, just for the local police if they're looking.
Wait a minute. Why you just sucked me right into that?
Well, there's
that,
not a lot of Aston Martins going from Morgantown to Reading.
Probably not. Probably not.
Not a lot.
So I would imagine you're probably correct. So other new arrivals, how about the 1970 Chevrolet Monte Carlo hardtop? Cranberry red over black. Numbers matching 350 L48. Numbers matching turbo hydromatic 350. 12-bolt axle on this one. And it's got a new Edelbrock 4-barrel carb because the guy probably said, I don't want to rebuild the damn carburetor. And this is, you talk about iconic. And when people come into here, one of the most popular cars are Monte Carlo.
Yeah.
Overall, even more so than Camaros or Corvettes or Grand Prix or any of the cars from that era. Something mm-hmm. about the Monte Carlo identifies with the every guy, I think, more so than a Camaro, because a lot of guys had a Monte Carlo that maybe couldn't have a Camaro, or mom and dad said no to the Camaro.
Or their mom and dad had a Monte Carlo.
Very true.
Yeah, they were just commuter cars.
I looked at them, and I was taller, too, so compared to a Camaro, you just had more room, and you got a lot of car for your money. Mm-hmm.
And performance.
3,000 to 3,500.
Yeah.
You got a lot more car.
And you could get a whole lot of performance out of that car, too. It wasn't like it was just a, nothing car. So this one, the red is really, really a great color for the car. And probably, I don't know, black's pretty good on those, too.
Yeah, but, dark green. I mean,
dark
green. It's a great-looking car. great proportions. Mm-hmm. And they're often the platform for modifications and stuff. This one has the numbers matching engine, which is great.
Sure, sure. And last but not least, the 1970 Pontiac GTO hardtop Judge. Granada gold over sandalwood, beautifully restored. Correct WS code 400 cubic inch. Ram Air 3 V8. Numbers matching Muncie M20 manual. Mm. It's got the PHS documentation, and it's one of 3,700 built.
That's awesome.
And that's, of course, the Judge nameplate came from the show Laugh-In.
Right.
Here comes the Judge.
Before my time. But there was one of these exact specs up at Greenwich, and then this one came like 2 weeks later to Morgantown. I was like, oh, my God, I wonder if that's the one from Greenwich. But it wasn't. But it's not.
Who was the Judge?
That would be Flip Wilson.
Sammy Davis Jr.
Sammy Davis Jr. and Flip Wilson is the one who said
it. Who said it?
He probably came up with it, right?
Probably.
The Judge. So, anyway, when we return, we'll talk more about, past 70s television shows and other interesting facts on the Classic Auto Mall show. We'll catch you in just a minute.
You are invited on a safari at Classic Auto Mall on a search for animals. Look closely and you might see a tiger, jaguar, and a cheetah or cougar as they try to catch a herd of impalas. And don't forget the wild mustangs and broncos, plus gazelle, rabbits, and rams. Ho-ho-ho. Instead of the zoo, you'll want to do your animal watching at Classic Auto Mall. It smells better, too.
If you want the truth about politics, medicine, weapons, classic cars, and more, you'll want to tune in to America's Web Radio. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live at www.americaswebradio.com or on demand on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. That's www.americaswebradio.com.
Since the 1960s, J.C. Taylor has been America's premier specialty insurance provider for classic cars, antique autos, modified, and custom vehicles. Our customers have trusted us to protect their prized possessions for more than six decades. For more information, or to receive a quote, contact our expert team today by calling 888-ANTIQUE or by visiting our website at jctaylor.com/awr. That's 888-268-4783. Or visit jctaylor.com/awr. Drive through time with peace of mind. J.C. Taylor.
What will Victor say next? Find out every Tuesday at 1 p.m. on the On Point with Victor show, only on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Show number 148.
I could whistle. I'd whistle into the microphone.
Yeah, okay. Let's, okay. Everybody, we know how to whistle. All right. That's great. Fantastic. Let's keep moving.
All right.
Another shout out to the Cool Cars for Kids event that was at the Simeon Museum a couple of weeks ago. Really a great event. And as we were talking about charity events for the Pittsburgh Grand Prix, also the Cool Cars for Kids, is just a wonderful event, and they benefit the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and they have a beautiful building down in King of Prussia. Have you seen that hospital down there? If you were a kid and you had to go to the hospital, this is the one that you say, oh, mm-hmm. I feel good. You know?
Yeah, no.
There's something about it psychologically, sure. That making something look more inviting, mm-hmm. is why they put, you know, make prison cells pink.
Is that right?
It's very, it keeps people down.
Do I've never been, so I don't know, but.
Have you ever visited a prison?
I haven't.
It's very frightening. We went on a field trip when I was a kid.
Did you?
I'm still a little scarred from it.
Yeah, I was locked up in LaPorte, Indiana as a radio promotion.
You didn't tell us that before we hired.
Yes.
Yeah, could have led with that, JR.
I left off of that.
they used to do that, the United Way or something used to lock people up, remember? And you had to raise money to get out.
That's what it was for.
Yeah, I remember.
They closed that door and you're like, even though I know it's fun, it's like,
It's like sneaking into the drive-in in the trunk of the car. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be the guy in the trunk. There's no way, because I know my friends, and I know good and damn well they may decide, you know, we're just not going to let him out for a while.
They do that Halloween thing at the Eastern Penitentiary in Philadelphia. You can tour the penitentiary, and you know, there's goblins and ghouls and all that kind of stuff.
Well, there's you can tour Brushy Mountain State Prison in Middle Tennessee, mm-hmm. Where James Earl Jones was kept, the guy who shot and killed Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, you get anywhere near those places and it changes your whole perception and feeling about everything. You know, I mean, just imagining living in those, I see those guys that are shackled like this, and this doesn't happen in, you know, modern day prisons, but it sure did back in, you know, mm-hmm.
Shawshank period. Yeah.
Yeah. And even, you know, when if you get arrested out of the country or something, can you imagine? For 24 hours, just being like this?
That's horrible.
So, anyway, if you're listening on podcast, you'll have no earthly idea what I'm talking about. Sorry about that. And that might have been the largest rabbit hole we've ever gone down.
Yes, it is.
So,
and if you're listening in another country, we're sorry.
No, we're not.
Jails aren't that bad.
They're really not that bad. So, I think that what's interesting about, charity event. Oh, look at that beautiful Mustang convertible. You know, this is distracting. I think I need to face the other way.
We need a camera facing.
I need my office. I should just make my office this room. Why don't I do that?
You should.
I think I should.
Move the studio to your office.
Back.
Yeah, I like that.
And make this my office.
I'm okay with that.
You wouldn't need any work done.
You're right. I mean, there's advantages to being mm-hmm. on the far end of the building, and there's disadvantages. And the disadvantages is that it would be hard to get anything done. The advantage would be at least I'm a little closer to the action here. You know, it's a long way to go back to our office, and mm-hmm. and it's probably it's efficiency of steps like you would do in a restaurant. You know, you don't put the coffee machine as the farthest corner of the restaurant. You put it in a central location, so the fewer steps that you take, because people don't realize if you go to the coffee machine 100 times a day, and it's 10 extra steps. That's 1,000 steps. That's not nothing.
You saw that on, did you ever see the movie The Founder about Ray Kroc?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh,
they laid it out, the McDonald's brothers laid it out in a basketball court.
Yeah.
And made the efficiency of the steps.
Oh, we got to move this a little closer. Mm-hmm. Let's move this a little further. I mean, and you think that, like, hotels should be designed like that, but they're not. Does anybody check the bathroom mirror or and the lighting in the bathroom to see if you can see? You don't. You have to hotels you go into. You can't see. You're trying to shave and you can't see anything.
We stayed at the Live Casino in Philadelphia,
right?
And they have. It's not a Keurig. It's some other kind of a coffee maker. I put the thing in and I put the water in. It was all over the countertop. I don't know what I did wrong, but it's like, it shouldn't be that complicated.
It shouldn't be. It should be the one that you understand. Yeah. Don't make it overly complicated. You know, that's the problem with things that, you know, it's like Andy Rooney, new and improved, like we talked about last week.
People who design it don't use it. It's like people who design roads don't drive.
I would think that if you're designing a hotel room, you should spend the night in it.
Uh-huh. Yeah? Sure.
Why are we talking about hotels?
I don't know. How do we get there?
Another rabbit hole.
Speaking of hotels, I got to check out Pittsburgh because I don't know where to stay if you go out there. And
true. And it's, well, you could drive, what is it, 3.5 hours?
Yeah, I don't want to do it. Not a day trip.
Yeah.
No. Station Square is nice.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get some recommendations.
Yeah, we should probably try to go. There's Mecum Auction is that weekend.
Oh, is it really? Wow.
There's something else going on that weekend.
It's busy, busy summer.
Yeah. It's you know, these events that we do, we take our truck and trailer. We have two truck and trailers, trucks and trailers. A white one and a black one, and they're all graphiced up, and we take them out to the shows and set up our little dog and pony show and tell you about Classic Auto Mall. And there, most of the weekends, both trucks and trailers are out on the road, and our van that has our pop-up tent that we take out to do indoor shows is on the road just about every weekend. I mean, all three of them are out there. So lots going on, and especially in this part of the world. And it's a great way to not only to participate in the hobby and participate with your collector car, but also to meet people that can help you. Mm-hmm. People that know where parts are for a particular car, or people that know a guy who's a great mechanic who can help you fix your car.
Sure.
And you know, maybe you don't know all these things. And by going to these car events, you meet like-minded people who you can sit and have a conversation with. And all of a sudden you find out information. And you find out maybe you make a new friend, because if you like 69 Grand Prix, and he likes 69 Grand Prix, well, you got a lot in common there.
Good idea.
Speaking of Pontiac,
yes.
I just got word that I sent my Trans Am to Lost Muscle Cars, which is a Facebook page, but he's also an author. He wrote a book called Lost Muscle Cars.
I read it.
And you can post your car if you subscribe to their YouTube channel. So I put a picture of my car, put the VIN up, and I'm looking for my 1979 Trans Am, my very first car that I sold for $1,600 to a guy at Nellis Air Force Base in Las Vegas, Nevada, by the way. And so I'm trying to track it and find it, and I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, I'd like to know. I wish I had the VIN number of my two Trans Ams that I had.
You gotta have some paperwork around somewhere. My dad saved everything.
I was good at saving, but somehow that escaped me. I did have the little log books. I used to buy those little hardback, little blank notebooks, and I'd write in the date and whatever I did to it, how much gas and how many gallons and and I would write that. I would keep that going for no particular reason. I don't know why I did.
Now, 79 was
a 63 Falcon, and I have a photo of it. I had the license plate, but I don't have the VIN.
You didn't even think about VINs.
And I sent it to the state of Michigan, and they went, we didn't keep track of plates.
Plates, right.
That's right. And it's pre-Carfax. Yep. 81. It's 81 on, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing I found out that's interesting, if a car hasn't been licensed or registered in the past 5 years, Pennsylvania purges it from their system.
Wow.
Really?
So if you bought a car 10 years ago and you never got it registered and you never got it, maybe you got it titled 10 years ago, but you didn't register. You're working on it or whatever. You just don't drive it. Or it's a trailer queen and you don't ever drive it, and so you don't need to register it. And you go to get a new title for it or sell it. So we sent a title to a guy in Texas, and they said they don't even show this title as being a record.
That?
I don't know. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. It
takes up too much computer space.
Yeah, but storage.
I mean, storage is cheap now. I mean, you know, RAM and, gigabytes is all that is nothing, relatively speaking. There goes that 69C28.
Oh,
that's a beautiful car. A silver with the black stripes. So I don't know what the reason is for it, because if the car hasn't been retitled anywhere else, then it's still got to be Pennsylvania titled. Mm-hmm. There's still a Pennsylvania car.
There still have to be reasons to track vehicles, not only for collectors, but crime and those kinds of things.
Yeah, you would think that there would be a reason that they would not purge that information. I mean, I think it's one of those things that probably somebody said, that's smart. Let's go save up some bandwidth, and not really thinking it through.
Somebody call Bob Casey.
Do you have time for a quick Trans Am story?
I do.
Okay, so living out in L.A.,
right?
This club used to have Boss Night, and it was Tuesday nights, and they'd just play Springsteen.
Right. And all of a sudden, that was you were in.
I was there. Oh, yeah, that was gold. So I went, and hanging out, and there's all these celebrities there, you know, Rob Lowe and right. Michael J. Fox is there. And I'm hanging out, and they finally, the club closes for the night. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. We're out in the parking lot. Michael J. Fox is drunk and he's with friends, but behind him on Sunset Boulevard is, because it came out this week, 49 years ago or 39 years ago, Back to the Future.
Billboard
behind Michael J. Fox with the DeLorean. And I was just like, this is the greatest night of my life.
And did you have a camera?
Of course not back in the day.
Of course not. That was the worst part.
1985.
About it.
Yeah. So then he got into a Mustang Fox body in the passenger seat.
Right.
And we basically raced down Sunset Boulevard down to Beverly Hills and then made a U-turn back.
Right, so there, that was
my story.
Hamlet right there.
Yeah.
Hamburger Hamlet was on the right. The V right there.
No, it was the residential area. We were more like sort of.
Well, then you went past,
past.
So the Rainbow Bar and Grill, in between the Rainbow and the Roxy, there was a parking lot. And at 2 a.m., the bars all closed at 2 a.m. in California, which is interesting because it was 3 a.m. in Tennessee.
Interesting.
But 2 a.m. in Southern Cal.
Wow. That's
progressive state.
Right.
And we'd all hang out in the parking lot. Like, nobody had anywhere to go. And they were all trying to get invited to house parties.
Right.
And I'll never forget, there was a guy who drove an Excalibur, and his name was Jean-Pierre. And he had a open-chested shirt with gold chains and this white Excalibur. And the invite to his party was, you know.
I think I knew that guy.
Nirvana.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
If you got invited to his party, you were really good. We never got invited there, ever. You know. And meeting girls in California was about akin to wrangling cats. It was not an easy thing to do. So what can you do for me? I'm sorry. I was just asking you, you know, to dance.
No, it's a whole different vibe out there, especially at clubs. And
I never went to the Troubadour, which was a great club out there, and I wish I had of, and I don't know why I never did. It was just never anybody playing there.
Troubadour's next to Dantana's, by the way.
Dantana's, which is a great
Italian restaurant. Still there, I think.
Is it still there?
I believe so, yes.
I did more of my hanging out at the Whiskey, the Roxy, and the Rainbow right there, and Gazzari's on a really heavy metal night or something, where Van Halen got their start, basically.
That's right.
Exactly. And the Troubadour, they were discovered by Gene Simmons of Kiss.
That's right.
There you go. More useless
music
rabbit hole.
But that's my Trans. I was in the Trans Am that night, so the Trans Am and the Fox body down Sunset Boulevard. Michael J. Fox wasted.
And you're racing him.
Billboard sign behind him. It's amazing.
Wonder who the driver was. See, that's you.
I was a friend of his, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you'll never know.
No, I'll never know.
I'll never forget. Who was the guy with the Stray Cats? Not Brian, whatever his
Brian
name
Setzer.
Is. Slim
Setzer.
Jim Phaeton or whatever, the bass player or drummer or something. I remember he was dating like Britt Eklund or something, and they came pulling up in a Jaguar XKE or something, and it was like, golly, this guy. You know why she likes him, because he's a musician.
You see a lot in Los Angeles.
You
like
see
that.
A lot. You see a whole
pretty
lot
cool.
of stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yep.
It's a lot of fun, and the car culture out there was amazing, and it wasn't even a car culture. Mm-hmm. There weren't Concorde Elegances. There weren't really that many car shows, per se. It was just, the car culture was just people using their cars and seeing them, driving up and down Sunset Strip
seeing
on a Friday night.
Seeing
and being seen. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's Paul Stanley getting gas at the gas station in San Vicente and Sunset.
Yeah, there you go.
And a 928, Porsche 928.
Pumping his own gas. By golly.
It's cool.
Don't you know who I am? I'm a rock star.
Yeah, right.
I can't be pumping my own gas. Well, I don't even pump my own gas. We got the Sunoco down
That's
here,
right.
DeLong's. They pump it for you. And they even wash your windshield.
Wow.
Right here in Morgantown, Pennsylvania.
Don't leave your wipers on automatic.
That's
when
that,
he puts
that
thing down. It's not good.
He'll give you a frown.
Next week, join us when we have a special guest, an author. I'll just leave it at that, joining us on the Classic Auto Mall Show. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Classic Auto Mall Show with your host, Stuart Howden. Executive producer, Steve Saphir. Produced and engineered by yours truly, J.R. Russ. Available on ClassicAutoMall.com, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Questions, answers, or comments? Write us at ClassicAutoMall.com. And if you want to talk about buying a classic car seen on our website, you're looking for a particular vehicle, or want to consign your classic for sale, write us at info@ClassicAutoMall.com or call and talk to a real live classic car specialist at 888-227-0914. That's 888-227-0914. Music courtesy of the Pat Travers Band. For tour dates, contact, and stuff, visit pattravers.com. Produced by Car Smarts Media. Copyright all rights reserved.
Stock number 6321 for sale by consignment at Classic Auto Mall is a beautiful, modernized 1971 Ford Bronco with a 302 cubic inch V8 and a Holley Sniper electronic fuel injection, putting out 316 horsepower with a 4-speed automatic transmission and a Ford 9-inch Positraction rear with 411 gears. It has a removable top, 1.5-inch suspension lift, and a 1-inch body lift. Textured bed liner covers the undercarriage with coil spring suspension up front and leaf springs in back. It also has headers, single exhaust, and a Flowmaster muffler, and even has vintage air to keep you cool on those hot summer days. One more thing, you simply couldn't build this Bronco for the list price, so if you're looking for a turnkey show truck with all the modern conveniences and fun you'll need for a lifetime, consider this fine Ford. Classic Auto Mall has more than 1,000 cars for sale via consignment in our massive climate-controlled showroom in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. Classic Auto Mall's inventory is fluid and vehicles described may not be available at time of broadcast. Classic Auto Mall, a great place to buy or sell a car through consignment because it's safe, easy, and secure. Plus, we advertise, sell, and ship worldwide. Easily search for your next classic at ClassicAutoMall.com.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.